Pray for him tonight.
All right. Well, it's good to be in Alabama.
Amen.
We drove all the way from Peppertown, Mississippi. How many of you know where Peppertown's at? Two people. That's it. I got a Mantachie address. But I like saying Peppertown. It sounds a lot cooler than Mantachie.
Probably easy to spell, too.
It is. But we drove all the way over, a little over 2 hours, and I didn't see the first raindrop, so I want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
All right, everybody hear me good?
Yes, sir.
And if you can't, just come closer. There's plenty of seating.
That's right.
But it is good to be here tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I don't take it lightly that your preacher asked me to come preach, and I sure am thankful for that. But are you glad you saved on Sunday night?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I was glad this morning to be saved. And I ain't got over it. So I decided to come back to church tonight. But you can be turning to 2 Kings tonight, chapter number 5 and verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 1. But it is good to be here, and I was trying to think the last time I was here. I can't remember that. It's been a while since I've Miss Claudia's been before here, and a couple of years back, I think she came to revival one night on a Wednesday night, and I was unable to come. But it's been a while, but I sure am thankful that I am here tonight. But 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 1, if you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and seek how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And how much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Lord, we thank you for the day God has given us. I thank you for who you are, for your love, God, your grace, and your mercy. All that you have done, in Jesus' name, God, I ask you to bless this service this evening. Amen and amen. All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. If the sound man would turn me down just a little bit, I can hear myself echo. I don't know if you're like me. I don't like hearing myself talk. If you ever hear it, every time I do, I'm amazed that I sound as bad as I sound. I sound like I've got a first grade education. But all right. Well, I trust this evening that you are familiar with 2 Kings chapter number 5. And when we come to this chapter, we're introduced to a man by the name of Naaman. And the Bible said that Naaman is a great man with his master. He is an honorable man. Matter of fact, the Lord has used Naaman, his life, to do a work in the land of Syria. The Bible says that he is a mighty man in valor. But the Bible tells us that Naaman was a leper. Naaman is a great man. Naaman is a man that is known this evening. But Naaman has got an issue. Naaman is full of leprosy. Now I know in the day that we live, we don't deal much with this thing called leprosy. I caught an armadillo a few years back and I didn't realize that they carried leprosy. And I said, glory that I didn't get leprosy from the armadillo, because I caught him by his tail. After I had him in my hand, my buddy said, you know they carry leprosy. I said, I did not know that, or I would have not caught this thing. So I let him go and I let him go on about his business. But leprosy, as you know this evening, I'm not going to teach you Sunday school, but I trust you know that leprosy is a great picture of sin. It would rot and it would decay. I mean, they would die from the inside out. Body parts would begin to fall off. And in this biblical time that we're sitting in, looking in 2 Kings, all the way through your Bible, anytime any man come about to have leprosy, or any woman, they had to live outside of the camp of Israel. They was considered unclean and nobody wanted to be around them. And this man Naaman is ate up with this thing of leprosy. He's got an issue tonight. And I said this morning to my church, it doesn't matter how big you are, how renowned you are, how mighty you are, it does not matter. Everybody has got issues this evening. Would you agree with me on that? Now listen, they may be, if you like my church, look here on Sunday night, half the church don't show back up. So if I preaching to those that ain't here tonight, we'll just enjoy talking about it. Somebody say amen. But everybody has got issues they deal with. I've got issues and you have got issues this evening. But I have found something interesting in verse number 11 that I believe, if you would just agree with me for a few seconds here, that everybody deals with on a daily basis. Naaman says in verse number 11, But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, watch the next two words, I thought. He says, I thought that the man of God would surely come out. I thought it would stand and call on the name of the Lord. I thought he would strike his hand over the place, and I thought he would recover me of my leprosy. Naaman has got this idea of a preconceived notion when he finds out about the God of
of Israel that he can do a work in his body and fix his leprosy. He goes down to Elisha's house and he's got preconceived notions that everything's going to be big and everything's going to be, just grand. And he gets down there and Elisha don't even get out of seat to come see him. Anybody in here this evening ever had issues with having preconceived notions?
Right.
The Bible says that thought. He has preconceived notions about what's going to take place. You know what that preconceived notion just simply means is that he had an idea. He had put something in his mind that was going to happen without any evidence or without any truth, without any facts.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm preaching to the choir, I get that. I know sitting in here, some of the most spiritual people in the church, I know this evening we don't really struggle with this thing. We say we don't struggle with this thing, but everybody in here tonight, if you've been real honest, we all struggle with this thing of thinking that something should happen the way we think it should happen. Only to find out God has got something else in place.
That's right.
God has something else in store.
That's right.
I know I'm not the only ones that are been there.
Amen.
We struggle with this thing of faith. I remember me and Miss Claudia got married in 2012, September 29th, 2012. In our first Christmas together, we didn't have any money. So we could buy one gift each. That's what we agreed on. That's all we could afford. Now I'm glad to say we're hundredaires. Somebody say, so I don't know how you fellas are, but when it comes to gift giving time, I just tell you what I want.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want nothing I need. I want everything that I just want.
Right.
We didn't have much money, so I said, I really want a Carhartt jacket. I need a Carhartt jacket. And guess what I got on Christmas morning? A Carhartt jacket. But like most women, Miss Claudia never told me what she wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
She just dropped those subtle hints from January to December 1. Like I'm supposed to remember everything she pointed out and looked at in the stores.
It's hard, brother.
So I didn't know what to get. So I go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I thought the first gift I picked up was a mighty fine one. It was a 2012 Alabama National Championship shirt. I thought everybody needs an Alabama shirt. If you go along with God close, you may be an Alabama fan. Put my side up. Any Auburn fans in here tonight, raise your hand. I'm going to put you on the prayer list of the church. There's a mission field everywhere.
That's right.
So that gift was, it was a small gift, so I could get something else. So I walked around the store and I come across some Under Armour sweatpants. I know you ladies thinking there's no way he bought his wife sweatpants for Christmas. I'm telling you, I bought sweatpants for Christmas. So we go in there Christmas morning. I mean, she's excited. I'm excited. It's our first Christmas together. We ain't got hardly any money, but we got love. Say amen. Everybody found out love don't pay the bills. The less the company wants real money.
That's right.
So we get up Christmas morning. I mean, man, she is excited. I mean, there's a glow about her. She's full of holly, jolly cheer. We get in, she gives me my gift, open it up, and I got exactly what I wanted. I got a Carhartt jacket. I wasn't disappointed, not one bit. But I give her my gift to her. I wish I could have recorded it. She's so excited. She's just full of Christmas joy. She sits down, opens the gift, pulls out in one hand some gray sweatpants, and the other hand a red Alabama shirt, and the disappointment that come on her face. It's like somebody took her favorite puppet and took it to the animal shelter.
Oh, no.
I mean, this disappointment. I mean, this all over her. I said, oh, no. You didn't tell it. You say, what are you saying, preacher? What's what I'm saying tonight? Miss Claudia had a preconceived notion. She thought she was getting one thing, only to find out she got something totally different. And there's times in life tonight that we think God should do something this way. Only when God does it, it's something totally different. And look here, whether you want to agree with me or not, a lot of times we're just like Naaman. When God does something this way, we thought it should happen that way, we'll go away and the rain will storm out, man. We'll pour a finger at God and we don't understand why. Look here, it ain't for you to understand tonight. It's for you to stand under and just have faith in Him tonight.
Amen.
I'll say this to you tonight. Glory to the Lord. That last time Miss Claudia was sitting on the couch, folding laundry, and guess what kind of sweatpants she had on? She had on those first sweatpants I ever bought her at Christmas. I was preaching this morning, Holy Ghost showed me, when God gives you something that He wants, it'll last between His stuff we want. It don't ever make it. It don't ever stand the test of time. You'll get in line with God tonight. And I've got to be God in your life. There's some things that last tonight.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Naaman. He's got a preconceived notion. Matter of fact, in the whole chapter, he's got a thinking problem. Won't you notice first tonight about the people that is around him? He's got a thinking problem with. The first person you find in the life of man is a little man from Israel. He's got a thinking problem on her. Her name is not mentioned in Scripture. She seems to be a nobody. And Naaman and his company had went into Israel and they took hostages of Israel. They took them people captive and they brought them back. And he's got this little old man, this little old girl that's probably about 10, 11, 12. You're old, and he puts her in his house, and she becomes a servant. She becomes a slave to the wife of Naaman. Naaman thinks she's just a nobody. Nobody really cares about her. Nobody knows her name. But Naaman soon found out that it was a little man with no name that God was going to use to do a work in Naaman's life. Who do you think it was that told Naaman's wife about the God of Israel? Who do you think it was? Naaman can get down there to him. He can fix his issues.
Yeah.
It was somebody that Naaman thought was a nobody that was the biggest in his house. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You may feel like a nobody tonight. You may feel like nobody cares. You may feel like people misuse you, mistreat you. You may feel like everybody's doormat. I got good news for you. If you're hooked up with Him tonight,
yeah,
you're somebody. You're with Him tonight.
Amen.
You keep on being faithful. I mean, you keep on serving Him. You keep on telling people about Him. And they'll come a day, look here, that person thinks you're nobody. God will use you to be a somebody in their life.
Amen.
Yes.
She was the biggest of his house. And then there's Elisha, the man of God. I've been told you most of that, and I'm going to tell you again, because you're back, as somebody said.
Amen.
He gets down there. He pulls up to Elisha's house. You say, how do you know it was Elisha's house? Look at that mailbox. them seeds sitting in the driveway. Somebody said, that's when you know they really men of God. He said they had GMCs in those days. Preachers, they had great mighty camels. Yes, they did. And it's camel parked out there. GMC stuff.
I'm just saying, John Allen and I before, y'all pray for him.
He pulls up to a light. Everybody doing okay now?
Yeah, come on.
I got a long drive back to Mississippi. I'm going to take my time. If you get done before I do, you just hang out. Right. He pulls up to Elisha's house. He's on his horse. He's got his chariot. And Elisha sees him pulled up, and he sends his servant out there to Elisha, what did he get off the couch? He sends his servant. He said, I want you to go tell him. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, it'll be clean. And the servant goes out there and tells him. And the response of Naaman, well, I thought he would come out here. I thought he'd call on the name of the Lord. I thought he'd strike his hand over the place. I thought there'd be lightning. I thought there'd be thunderclapping. I thought there'd be smoke and fire. And I thought there'd be a big old show I got down here. Elisha wouldn't even get up off the couch from watching gun smoke. Yeah. If it was me, I'd have been watching the black boys. He's got a preconceived notion because he thinks when he gets down there, he needs to do it this way. But when he got down to Elisha's house, it was totally different. Anybody ever been there with God?
Yeah.
Anybody ever thought God was going to do something only to find out he got your gray sweatpants?
Right.
Then there's the servant of Elisha, Gehazi. Well, the story goes on and Naaman is healed. And Naaman wants to give a blessing to the man of God. And he said, I want to give you gold, I want to give you silver, I want to give you raiment. And he said, I don't want any of it. And he sends him on his way. And there his own servant is thinking, if Elisha don't want none, I'm going to get what's mine. And he takes off running, and Naaman sees him, he's spiked, and he gives him 2 talents of silver. He gives him 2 changes of garments. And he goes back and he takes it. He said, what he's saying, preacher, I say it tonight that Naaman thought that Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was being truthful with what he told Naaman. He was being honest, only to find out he wasn't nothing but a liar and full of greed. You see, the entire story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter number 5, he got a thinking problem with everybody around him.
Yeah.
He thinks they're like this. He thinks they're like that. Only to find out everything's totally different than what he thought. He thought the little maid was a nobody. Turns out she was a big deal.
That's right.
Thought the man of God did it this way. All the time that he did it that way. He thought Gehazi was right. And all the time that he was a liar. He said, well, preacher, how come Elisha didn't get up for Naaman? Elisha didn't get up and go out there to see Naaman because Elisha wanted Naaman to know that it was God.
Amen.
Was going to do a work for him.
That's right.
He didn't want him to trust in Elisha. He wanted him to trust in the God of Elisha. Now, a lot of times we go through issues in life, we face storms in life, we walk through valleys in life, we got things going on. We want God to do something right now. We want God to do something like this. Only to find out God doesn't do it like that. God doesn't act like we can't. God's not moving like we're moving. You say, how come he's doing what he's doing, preacher? Because he wants you to realize it's going to be him that does it, not nobody else.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants them to trust in God. You see, Naaman, with the people that is around him, he's got a thinking problem. And I just want to take time out, just because I'm preaching tonight,
I may not ever get to come back. I've preached once in a row many places. But those demons got a thinking problem. I sure am glad God thought an awful lot about him.
Right.
I'm glad God thought an awful lot about him. You know how I know that you're a big deal tonight to the Lord? You know how I know Forest Hill is a big deal to Jesus tonight? Because he went to Mount Calvary and he gave his life on it for you. He gave his life on it for you. He gave his life for you tonight. You are a big deal to him.
Thank you, Lord.
God doesn't think a lot about Naaman because he's important or because he's evil. God thinks a lot about Naaman because God is God tonight.
Right?
And I'm glad God's love for me is not dependent upon my love for him. I'm glad that his faithfulness is not dependent upon my faithfulness. I'm glad his thinking on me is not dependent on my thinking on others. Naaman has got a thinking problem with people around him. But secondly tonight, it's not only with people that is around him tonight, but Naaman has got a thinking problem
with the place that is allotted to him. Look in verse number 10. The Bible said, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. The place that is allotted to him. Jordan tonight is a picture of death. Y'all know that tonight.
Yeah.
But in this time, Jordan, the waters of Jordan is filthy. It's filthy. And when he tells Naaman to go wash 7 times in the water of Jordan, he says, man, is Abana and Pharpar not a whole lot better than all of the waters of Israel? He says, is it,
Elisha, you got to understand that the rivers of Damascus, they're better. They got more beauty than that. They're clean. I mean, you walk up to them and they're just gorgeous, but you go down to the Jordan, and it's filthy. It's filthy. I don't want to go down there to Jordan and do that. I'd rather go over here and do that.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been a little agitated with a place God's placed you?
Yeah.
I mean, did anybody ever just sit back and look at some other place and said, you know what, it'd be a whole lot better over there. I mean, look at all the beauty that's over there. I mean, the grass is so much greener on the other side. If we could just get over there, everything would be better. I'd be a better Christian if I got over there.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm amazed at the people tonight that want to be a Christian in their little bubble.
Yeah.
God sent us out to the world.
That's right.
Who do you think he died for tonight?
Right.
Said, man, if I could get over there, preacher, if I didn't have to work where I'm working at, I could do a whole lot better. That ain't the case tonight. I pastored a little church in Peppertown, Mississippi. That's 8 miles from Fulton, like 6 miles, 7 miles from Mississippi, 15 minutes from Tupelo. Y'all know where Tupelo is? Y'all heard that? It's where Elvis Presley was born. Don't act like you don't listen to Elvis. He's got gospel tracks. I'm at that little church. We run 40 on Sunday mornings. Sunday night, we 15. I guess everybody gets really sick on Sunday night. I don't know. You see, you should say that, preacher. Listen, they ain't going to hear it no way. They don't show up on Sunday night. Well, I'm at that little church. And this past February, it was 7 years that I've been there. And God's done big things. And God's blessed. But I remember before we went there, they had a church about 15 minutes up the road, a big, big church. They wanted me to be youth pastor. I've been full time there. Well, it's 4 minutes Claudia got married. And I didn't feel led of the Lord to take it.
I left a church in Hamilton, Alabama. I preached that for a few months, and they wanted me to take a church and be their pastor. I'd been full-time there. I never felt led of the Lord to take that.
While we was there the first year, there's a church in Georgia called. Wanted us to come down. I never felt led of the Lord in that. There's one in Rogersville. That was interesting. One in Tuscaloosa that called. We'd been nearly full-time there. And now I'm not full-time. I'm not sure. I had a work job. I've got things going on. It's been a process that God has done these things. And it's been a lot of nights. I've laid down on my bed. And I thought, you know what? It'd be a whole lot better somewhere else. It'd be a whole lot better if I was at that other church. I never came here having to deal with the things I got to deal with. Having to watch my wife struggle with the things that she's struggling with because of church. Be a whole lot better over there. But you know what? Tonight it would have been better over there.
Right.
It would have been more beautiful over there. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because, listen to me, God sent me to New Hope Baptist Church,
right,
Mankato, Mississippi. That is the best place for me to be at tonight. That is the only place that's going to work tonight. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm smack dab in the middle of the will of God at that church.
Amen.
You say,
Jordan was the best place for him to go.
Amen. That's right.
Now you sit in Forest Hill, that may have been the time you thought it'd be better somewhere else. Let's do it. You just need to get some glue in your breeches and sit in that pew and back your man of God up if he's following God.
That's right.
Be faithful. Serve where God has placed you at. Submit yourself to where God has placed you at. We think tonight, for whatever reason, that our issues is a geographical problem. It's not geographical tonight, it's spiritual. And if you can't be faithful at Forest Hill, you ain't going to be faithful nowhere else. If you ain't going to serve God at Forest Hill, you ain't going to serve Him at the church down the road. If you ain't going to be a good Christian right now at this church, you ain't going to do it at another church. Be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Go where God tells you to go. Stay where God tells you to stay. I've been there 7 years. I've had families walk out. I've had people stand up in church and chew me up one side down the other and slander my name. In church, you think I'm lying? I'm telling you the truth. I've had people be mean, be ugly. I've had people be good, be bad, be mad, be sad. You know why I'm still here at Baptist Church tonight? Because God never told me to leave.
That's right.
Right.
You need to quit going because of everybody else. And go because of God. You need to quit staying because of everybody else and stay because of God.
That's right.
Listen to me. When I was a Christian before everybody called to preach. And I'm not going to be a Christian for you tonight. I'm going to be a Christian for Him.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all got time tonight? I'm about to tired of seeing everybody at the church do programs, get people in. I'm sick of my stomach.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm not mocking programs. You won't do things, but listen to the program. You won't get them in and keep them Jesus.
That's
tonight.
Right. There it is.
If Jesus ain't enough for them to stay, then your program ain't going to be enough for them.
That's right.
You know why they have to go to program after program after program? Because it's all carnal Americans entertaining the church.
That's right.
If you don't love Jesus tonight, if they don't love Jesus tonight, they ain't going to be faithful.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is enough tonight.
He sure is.
That's the only thing going to get you to heaven is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Only thing going to sustain you is the Lamb of God.
That's right.
Naaman had preconceived notions about the place that was allotted. He thought, that's what he thought, man, the water is nasty. The waters in Damascus is a whole lot better. But awful pretty compared to the waters of Jordan. Surely I can go down there and be better. But he wasn't got no better. The only place he was going to get better at was Jordan. And that's what God told him.
Yes, right.
Preconceived notions and preconceived notions about the place of God. You know, it would be a good day in your life if you just come to terms that God's God. And what he's got you to do, you just need to do it.
Right.
You say, preacher, I don't feel like it's a big deal. Oh, it's a big deal to him, or it wouldn't be on his heart for him to do it.
That's right.
There's people that's got nursing home ministries, that's a big deal to the Lord. Really big deal. You know that John the Beloved, the most spiritual preacher Jesus had a rest home ministry. He had to take care of Jesus' mother. And then he did children's church. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. My little children.
Yeah.
And that was the most spiritual preacher Jesus had. It was a big deal. That was what was allotted him to do. And he did it for the honor and glory of God. Naming preconceived notions about the place that is allotted to him. Where God's got you, that's a big deal tonight. But thirdly, and I'll be done tonight. He had preconceived notions about the people that was around him, about the place that was allotted to him. But he had preconceived notions about the process that was appointed unto him. Now I want you to notice in verse number 13, the Bible said, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Naaman had preconceived notions about the process that was appointed unto him. He was to wash 7 times in the Jordan to be made clean. Now here's your mindset tonight of Naaman. He is a mighty man in valor. He's strong. I mean, he's captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's an honorable man. He is a great man. He is a renowned man. I mean, he can do things physically that most people from where he lives at probably can't do. And when the man of God says, I want you to take yourself and wash yourself 7 times in Jordan. He's thinking, what? That easy? If he had told him to go out and catch 2 gazelles and kill 3 lions, he'd have done it in a New York minute. But it was washed 7 times. And see tonight, we have issues tonight with the process of God. How many of you know Romans 8:28?
Yeah.
How many of you love it? I preached 2 funerals last Friday and spoke on that text, both funerals. I love that text. Love it. I love the promise of it. I love the plan of it. I love the purpose of it. I love that text. It's dear to my heart. But if you be real honest, the process that God's going to work all things to the good of those. The process really ain't no fun. Because there's good things and there's bad things. The process ain't that fun. And Naaman has got an issue with the process of God. It was something simple. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan. 7 times. You got an issue with the process. You say, well, preacher, why do we struggle so much with the process? It's because we see very little progress tonight. Very little progress in the process of God. Y'all know what he told the children of Israel when he's leading them into the land of Canaan by driving out the inhabitants of that land. He said, little by little, I'm going to drive them out. Little by little. So when Naaman goes down and dips himself 7 times in the water of Jordan, the first time he dips himself in, he comes up, guess what? He's still a leper. The second time Naaman dips himself in it, guess what? He's still a leper. The third time he dips himself in it, he comes up, he's still got times the same, the fifth time the same,
the sixth time is the same. He comes up the sixth time and he's still covered head to toe in leprosy.
He said, "Preacher, how do you know that time?" You know, remember Joshua? You remember God said, "I'm going to give you the city of Jericho and the king of Jericho is in your hand." He said, "This is what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go down to the walls of Jericho." He said, "I want you to march around one time a day for 7 days." He said, "On 7 days, it's going to fall flat." So Joshua comes and he tells his men what's going to take place. He said, How are you going to take the city, Joshua? He said, "Well, I'll tell you. We're going to go down there. We're going to walk around the wall of the city one time a day for 7 days. And God's going to bring the wall down."
Amen.
He said, "Okay." So they go, and the first day they walk around it, guess what? The wall's still standing. The second day they walk around it, guess what happens? The wall is still standing. I mean, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. I mean, they walk around the 6 days, Brother John Allen. They get done walking, guess what? They ain't even a crack in the foundation of the wall. But on the seventh day.
Yeah.
Walked around that wall of the city. That trumpet blew. The wall fell down flat just like God said it would do. And on the seventh time, Naaman dipped himself down in that water. And it came up, the Bible said, that it came out. He had brand new flesh about him, like that of a little child.
That's right. Thank you, God.
You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm telling you tonight that the process of God, we see very little progress in it. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day that God may do something big in your life. You just keep on being faithful to where God has got you at. You keep on preaching that book, Brother John Adams. You keep on telling them Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night every time the door is open. Child of God, you keep on being faithful to Him. You keep on witnessing for Him. You keep on praying for that lost loved one. You keep on telling folks that Jesus is coming. Because it's coming today on the Sabbath. God's going to do a work.
Yes, right.
Blow your mind.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. You know, nobody has prayed for somebody for a long time. Man, you don't give up.
You keep praying and praying and praying for that one person in your family, that one friend. They ain't seem to get any better. They're going to come today. You're going to pray for the last time. They're going to walk a church aisle. Get down there and get born again. And God's going to get honor and glory out of that.
That's right. Right.
It's coming today. God let this do something big. You just need to keep on being faithful. We struggle with the process because we don't see very much progress. There's Naaman. I can just see Naaman. He's already got preconceived notions. He's already mad at the preacher. If you get mad at the preacher all the time, you need to get over yourself. He don't think much about over and around him. He's got to go down to Jordan. He's called, "Man." He gets down, dips himself. First time he comes up, he's like, "No better." Second time, "No better." Third time, "No better." Gets down sixth time, he said, "What on earth?" And he dips himself down that last time. He comes up, he said, "Oh, my soul."
Yeah.
He said, verse number 11, he said, "I thought he had preconceived notions about what should have took place in his life." Mm-hmm. Only to get down there, something totally else happened.
Right.
God didn't hold it away from what he thought. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, For we know. You know what the difference is? Thinking and knowing is? Knowing is having concrete evidence, facts, truth, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's right.
All you're thinking is preconceived notions without any truth, without any evidence. Paul doesn't say in Romans 8:28, "But I think all things will work together for those that love Him, those called according to His purpose." Paul says, "For we know."
That's right.
You better be real careful about stressing what you think tonight.
Because Peter thought he would never deny Jesus.
That's right.
And he sure did. Peter didn't trust what Jesus was telling him. He said, Peter, I'm telling you, you won't deny it. Oh, no, I ain't going to deny it. He thought he said he was something. And he failed. You know what Job says? Job doesn't say, I think my Redeemer liveth. Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Yes, sir.
He'll stand upon earth in the latter days, and I shall see him with my own eye. I know. You may be sitting in a situation tonight, you don't think it's going to get any better, that God's ever going to do anything. Why do you think like that? Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours.
That's right.
I'm almost done. Y'all should have been sitting to preach to. I let you go 30 minutes ago. We're going to blame this on you tonight. Miss Claudia, I knew what you were going to do. And Joseph, in the Old Testament, God gave a dream to. He believed that dream. And everything happened he never thought was going to take place. If you ask Joseph, Joseph, you think your brother's going to try to kill you, throw you in a pit, save you later? I don't think it's going to happen. But it happened.
Right.
Joseph, you think when you have favor with Potiphar that his wife's going to lie on you, they're going to cast you into prison, they're going to hurt you, bound you in chains? I don't think of that. Joseph, do you think tonight when the chief butler and baker come to you and they're sad and you got favor with him in the jail and, you know, you tell them what's going to take place in their life and one dies and one gets exalted, you think that fellow's going to forget you for 2 years? No, I don't think he will. Joseph, do you think that you've been forgotten? That there's going to come a day that you're going to be running everything in Egypt? I don't think so. Because God gave me a dream. I don't really understand. I just got to believe it. Things never took place like I thought they were going to take place. Joseph, when he got older, he got exalted. He looked back on his life. And this is what he told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. He said, you thought it for evil, but God meant for good.
Yeah.
Save much people alive as it is this day. And this evening, you may not understand, you may not get it, you may think God ain't going to do nothing, but there's going to come a day you're going to step back and look and be amazed at everything God did in your life.
Amen.
You just keep on being faithful.
Yes.
You keep on loving Him. You keep on serving Him. Because the seventh day is coming.
That's right.
And God made them sit big in your heart and your life. Naaman had preconceived notions. He said, I thought. Now look at verse number 15. After his cleansing, he comes back to the man of God. This is what he says. He said, now I know. Aren't you glad you can know some things?
That's right.
We say, preacher, what I... you know him tonight. You're just trusting him.
Right.
You're just trusting him tonight. Your thinking will drive you crazy, but you'll trust the heavenly tonight. Just trust him tonight. Do what he says do. Go where he says go. Stay where he says stay. Be faithful to him tonight. And I can assure you he's going to be faithful. Brother John, there's anybody coming to play music tonight?
As they come, I know I've been long-winded, but y'all been long listening, so I appreciate that tonight. But as she comes and she plays the piano tonight, won't you bow your head and close your eyes? Won't you be real honest with yourself tonight? Maybe there's somebody in here that needs help. Because they thought God was going to do something only to turn out God gave you some gray sweatpants. But what God gives is always best tonight.
That's right.
She begins to play. Won't you come?